Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is.
Right.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Yes, sir. I think we got Gary on too as well.
Yep.
What up, Gary?
How's it going?
Hello, Gary. You on the road?
Yeah. We're on the road. Heading down to Palm Springs.
Damn. All right. The desert. Man. I got a funny story about Palm Springs, man. I went there one time in the summertime. I got out the car.
Oh,
it was so hot. I got right back in the car.
Oh, yeah.
That felt like 150 degrees.
It's no joke. It's no joke in the summertime.
I was like, man. I was like, it's hot, but man, that dry heat, if you're right in the sun, it is brutal.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. We are ready to get this party started here. I know, obviously, we got us three in the Zoom, but we got Gary on the line, and like you said, looks like he's traveling, and we are officially just the month of December is flying, but we got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to jump right into it because, obviously, we want to condense this and we want to get off on time, you know, by 12, and I'm going to go through some topics here. I may add a couple too because there's a couple things that Robbie didn't add. There's been a lot of interesting sports stories too, so we're going to jump right in with that. But without further ado, let's check in with the fellas as we always do. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm doing all right. Work is a little crazy, but it's okay. I'll be headed down to Tampa on Saturday morning. I'm trying to wait on some of these ticket prices to go down because they are on some real live crackhead prices right now to see Burrow and Brady. So I plan to get in. I don't know if I said quite yet, but I'm figuring it out. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to getting out and going to see the game. I know they're gonna be real mad if they got destroyed by San Francisco, so we'll see. But you know, chance to go see Burrow battle Brady, man, it's too much to pass up.
Nice.
Yeah, the ticket prices, I think you may get lucky the closer you get to game time. You know, I went to the Saints Bucks game a couple of weeks ago. And the Bucks don't really have a decent following in Tampa, but Tampa has so many transplants. It's not like it's a huge following. And I was able to get some pretty good seats at the last minute. And I was like four or five rows from the field. I mean, they were end zone seats, but they were four or five rows from the field for like $150 each. $158.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
in comparison
nice.
To sitting in that bowl down there, they want $640 right now a ticket.
Mm. Yeah.
I was hell no.
No, I think you may find
big
a,
money, JQ.
You know,
got that money.
Oh, it's pocket change, JQ. We know it.
Shit.
You go to NBA.
No, what the hell it ain't.
Baseball all
now
game
when I got to go to Cincinnati and buy Christmas gifts, $640 is not pocket change right now, 4 weeks before Christmas, bro. I'm like, no.
Pocket hey, Rob can help you out with that. Rob will help you out with that. Don't worry about it. Big bucks, Rob will help you out with that.
I hate we're going to miss you, JQ. I'm going to actually be in Atlanta and then on my way to New Orleans this weekend.
We'll get it together. I'm down there.
How long are you
going to
be in Tampa?
We're leaving Monday. Just good Saturday morning to Monday morning. Just so I hang out a couple of days and get back up here so I can get, you know, back to work, back to real life.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll be back. I think I'll be back in Tampa Sunday night. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be getting ready to get back to Atlanta probably. Mm.
down in Atlanta right now, Rob? You still in Tampa?
Say what?
Atlanta right now, are you still in Tampa? Where you at, man?
Wait, half of your message is being cut off. You saying something about...
Oh, are you,
where you are.
Atlanta or where are you at? Where are you at?
I'm in Atlanta currently, but I haven't started the new role in Atlanta yet. I'm just
okay,
here for... came in town to spy on the Falcons because the Saints need all the help we can get. Dennis Allen need all the help we can get. Tried to come to Atlanta to spy on the Falcons. And, I had to spy on the Bulldogs, too, because I want Ohio State to beat them, too. So I had to help Ryan Day out, too.
Hey, man.
Wow.
I appreciate it. Lord knows I need it.
No, I was asking because you're definitely in the same time zone as me, that you so you'll feel a little bit of our pain. So there you go. So it's all good.
Tampa is already in the same town zone, man. I've already been in the same town zone.
No, man. You ain't telling the same. Jake,
I got to educate you on some geography, man.
that was definitely. What's up, Gary? How you feeling, man?
Oh, doing all right. Okay. Doing all right. A little concerned about Curtis right now, but he's in good hands. His staff is top notch, and I know he's wishing he was on the call tonight with us, but I'll definitely chat with him and give him an update on how it went.
Good stuff. Appreciate
cool.
that.
Yeah.
Let's go and kick us off.
Spilling our prayers, man.
Get this party started. Go ahead, Rob. We'll get this started because we got to knock out some stuff, Argentina World Cup stuff. Get to those, and then we're going to talk about Mike Leach and just kind of his impact on the game. And I was actually looking at a couple of his rants, which is really great too. But we'll kick it off, Rob, with some World Cup information, and we'll jump right in. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I know we don't talk soccer a lot, but I figured we had that in there, getting to the World Cup final. Messi, of course, having another great World Cup. I got some notes here. He had a goal and assist in the victory today over Croatia, 3-0, and in five matches so far in the World Cup, he's got four goals and two assists. So this is probably going to be his last World Cup, and he's still shining through for Argentina. I think this is their sixth World Cup final, if I'm not mistaken. So they've been a powerhouse in football or soccer or whatever you want to call it. they've been a powerhouse fight in town. Obviously, Brazil was a favorite and got upset on penalty kicks. And now we got to wait for the winner of France and Morocco. Morocco, the first African country to make it to the semifinals in the World Cup. And, man, those fans were going berserk in Morocco when they won that match the other night. France going to be a tough out. Kylian Mbappe, probably one of the best soccer players in the world, only 23 years old. You look at his stats in four matches. He's played one less match than Messi so far. He's got five goals and two assists in only four matches. So, and in one of those matches, he had two goals. It would be nice to see Mbappe against Messi in the final and have a France-Argentina final. And France, of course, is the defending World Cup champion for 2018.
Yeah, and not only that goal is just sick. Messi is just on another level. And once you think about it, Ronaldo, being benched from Portugal, and then Neymar and Brazil getting, taken out on penalty kicks, like you just mentioned, he's like the last of a dying breed almost, and he's still kicking, no pun intended, and keeping the Argentina team going, right? So it's good to have him there. I know the World Cup is happy to have him there. If that happens with him and Mbappe, man, the rating spread is going to be through the roof worldwide. It's just going to be nuts. And before I pass it off, Rob's already touched on it. Being a dad of two girls, just trying to get them involved, so we can have something to sports to bond over. Football just ain't clicked yet. But my youngest daughter plays soccer. So she's been watching the World Cup, and she's been into it. Man, these chicks asked me to pick them up from school at lunch tomorrow so they could come home and watch the World Cup. I said, what? Yeah, okay, I'm in. Dad is in.
The
and they're rooting for France and Mbappe. Yeah, so it's helping with that out. So for us to have something to bond over too, I know a lot of that's because she's playing soccer, getting to see it played at the highest level. It's kind of piquing her interest and hopefully getting her ready for the spring season. So I'm excited. I won't get to see it because I got a pretty big meeting at 2, but I'm definitely gonna go get those girls and bring them home, let them watch that game. and they ain't doing it in the school anyway right now. These kids are just ready to get off Christmas break, so I figure I'd give them a little treat on Wednesday afternoon and watch the French Morocco game.
Yeah, I have jersey. I'll be wearing it tomorrow.
They'll remember that. They'll remember that for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Trying,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, being into soccer and dad taking him out of school to come home and watch a game, you know, that's a cool deal. You know, that's
makes
a big
me not
time.
Cut in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
as far as,
but they got
as far
it at the right time. They ain't doing nothing.
you're
yeah,
right. The finals league.
You know, as far as these games go, you know, France is going to be they're going to be tough to beat. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But I'll tell you what, these soccer fans, you know, a lot of these other professional sports fans, they can learn a lot from these soccer fans, because these soccer fans, they're legit. Man, they go off.
They
go off.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
A, yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, just watching watching these fans, you know, just man, that would be fantastic to see one of our NFL teams. You know, we talk about teams that have home field advantages, you know, like Kansas City and, you know, the Seahawks when they were a solid team and how their fans, you know, were so into it, you know, as, you know, probably the two top, arguably the two top teams as far as their fan bases and how they interact during the game time. And they're nothing to how these soccer teams are cheered for and chant, and they chant and, you know, and it's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's definitely one of the more global sports, right? So it's just great to see, like, the world involved in this, too. So, and again, this shows you just how huge that is. And in the U.S., that's the one sport we don't really have the mastery on the men's side just yet, too. But it's great to see that. Big fan of Ted Lasso, too. If you have never seen that show, it's pretty hilarious.
It's
really
great.
Great show, too, which kind of highlights that, too. So just a little bit else to kind of add to that, too. So good stuff. Thanks, Rob, for that.
And Pulitzer sucks. Sorry, he does.
Yeah. that's true. Hey, let's talk about this, Rob. Let's kick it off. Mike Leach, we lost a great offensive innovator. So talk about him, and I know he gets a lot of press as far as a couple of his rants too. But just talk about just his impact as his coaching tree from Lincoln Riley's and to the world too. So just kind of talk about that, how his impact is as well, Rob, and we'll kind of go around the horn with that.
Yeah, obviously, you know, a huge shock. The guy just coached this past season. 61 years old, and don't know everything that went on. Obviously, he was in critical condition. Definitely, our prayers go out to his family. But certainly, an innovator in college football, right? You know,
air raid.
You look at guys like the air raid offense, and you look at guys like Cliff Kingsbury, several other coaches who actually, picked up some of his elements and things of that nature. And everywhere he went, he had a competitive football team. Never went to a top-notch university. You know, he had Texas Tech, Washington State, Mississippi State. But he was always a tough out, right? And every time he played against his teams, he always had to worry about that offense and certainly was a tough out every time you played him. You didn't want to see him in a big game because his offense – was challenging. It was definitely challenging to defend. And I looked at last year, I mean, man, they just wiped LSU off the field. I mean, obviously LSU beat them this year, but man, their offense presents a lot of challenges. You know, you have to spend a lot of time game planning for them. And obviously he was a little bit of a renegade too, from an offensive standpoint, he was certainly an innovator. And a lot of coaches that are coaching both today in the NFL as well as in college football have, taken a lot of his elements that he's brought to the game and utilizing today. So definitely a sad day for college football when you lose a coach like that. And, Definitely, like I said, definitely innovator of the game when it came to offensive football.
Yeah, not too much to add to that. You know, RP to Mike Leach, you know, if you said prayers out to his family. Just a character, and he's just one of those guys that you need in college football, and it's one of the things that makes college football, you know, to a lot of people better than the NFL. I mean, you got more teams, of course, because you have so many more universities, but you get those Mike Leaches of the world that come out there and give you those great sound bites. And like you said, when he brought offensively with the air raid system, it's just it's tough. Like I read that he was, you know, at a holiday party the night before he had the heart attack, and then the next day, you know, he found some unresponsive, and then him being gone, and just that span of time, it's got to be tough for the people who know and love him and been around him and saw him, and then he was just gone so quickly. So, you know, very sad news for the college football world. You can tell how much he's loved by the outpouring, right? Like, if people didn't really care or love about him, you wouldn't see all the tributes and whatnot. So, hope he's in a better place, pain-free, and, you know, just won't be the same without him.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you guys. When he was with Washington State, you always knew you better score at least 35 or 40 points, or you're going to get beat by his team. And you know, he was one of those, like you both indicated. You know, he's one of those innovators. You know, with his air attack, and you know, he was a two-time national college coach of the year and three-time conference, you know, coach of the year. And you know, you don't get that type of recognition unless you're doing something right, you know. And he made his teams competitive. And what's scary for me is, you know, you guys, you know, talk about my age. I'm a year older than that. I'm 62. Here this guy is, you know, at 61. And I'll tell you what, when you know, you hear of someone younger than you or your age or around your age, you know, passing away so suddenly like that, you realize that, you know, every moment you have on this earth, man, make the best of it. Cherish it, because you never know. And
yeah,
tonight I'm cherishing it because I'm with my my podcast brothers, so I appreciate you guys. Rest in peace.
Yes, sir.
Rest in peace, Coach Leach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, and it's tough, you know, because, you know, I don't know if he was, you know, the most in-shape guy, you know, and that's just something just to kind of, you know, obviously – keep that in mind too. But you know, JQ did say he had a massive heart attack and he had some seizures too, so it's a couple of things that did kind of contribute to that too. So it's just kind of like you said, sudden, you know, if you will too. So but just just words of wisdom, you know, Gary, you know, just make sure that you cherish family and, you know, everything that happened. You know, whenever I had my accident, you just kind of sit back and kind of evaluate life and, you know, just try to make the best of it for sure. So tomorrow's definitely not promised, so we're here to enjoy that if you can. Let's talk about, as that's a really interesting transition here, let's talk about the Buckeyes. They're going to be without Travion Henderson. So that's on you, JQ. Kind of talk about that, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, as a Buckeye fan and watching him, he got hurt in that Toledo game, and he really never had the same burst after that game. He tried to come back, and I appreciate him for trying to come back. But you could tell when he was running that he didn't have it. And he was trying to do too much dancing. He couldn't just hit the hole like he wanted to hit it. So they're definitely going missing. But, you know, the Ohio State offense still has to be able to get back. Mike Williams is more of a bruiser. And I personally think they may need a little bit more of that attack, especially against Georgia. So not so much dancing, but hitting the hole and getting those 3 and 4 yards and staying ahead of the chains. He doesn't have breakaway speed by any stretch of the imagination. But he's a Cincinnati kid. Cincinnati, Witten Woods, Mike Williams. But he brings a more bruising style. But I tell you what, that freshman, Dallas Hayden, from Memphis, also showed me some stuff when he got his chance to play ball. So, you know, if it was Marvin Harrison Jr., I'd be more upset because they wouldn't have a chance without Marvin Harrison Jr. But without Travion, they still have a chance. They've got a good stable of backs. And I didn't even know about that back there that played against Michigan. He had a good game for the most part. So they have some pieces in the backfield that can help replace him. But none of them have his home run speed. So they're going to miss that. But he hasn't honestly had that home run speed since the Toledo game. So, you know, hope the surgery goes well. He comes back with a vengeance next year. And, you know, they just have to move on without him. But I think they have enough you know, in the reserves to mitigate him not being able to play.
JT, what kind of chance do you give your team in this game?
I give them about a 20% chance. They're playing in Atlanta against Georgia at that dome against a heavily favored team with a really good defense and a quarterback that doesn't make a whole bunch of mistakes. They're going to need him to make some mistakes and miss some throws. They're going to need Georgia to get a little cute when they don't need to get cute, because I've watched that from Georgia. They sometimes just don't blow you away like they should. But right now, given what we saw in that Michigan game, they can't let those big plays happen because they'll get ran up out of the dome. So they're going to have to make them score. They're going to have to make them go 8, 9, 10 plays, make them make a mistake, make them stay on the field. The same thing the team's trying to do to Ohio State. Don't let them go deep. Don't let Marvin Harrison Jr. get deep on you. Don't miss your assignments where they can score in 2 or 3 plays. I think that same formula has to go for Ohio State. Again, it's the reason that one team is the 1 seed and the reason the other team is the 4 seed. And they're playing in that team's backyard. So they're definitely going to have some Riley fans in there ready to – I tell you what, these fans are down here ready to talk so much trash to me. I mean, as soon as it came out and I stepped outside, I didn't even have Ohio State stuff on. I mean, we finally get y'all in the playoffs. I was like, good Lord. Like, we ain't even in the same conference. Like, they are out of control. So that's why I say that. Like, they have a whole Bulldog Nation that is super fired up to finally get a chance to play Ohio State. So they're going to have to work on it for them, man. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they got to – they left the country with a bad taste in their mouth about them, given what happened in the Michigan game. So they got a lot to fight through and overcome. We're going to see what Coach Day is made of and how he gets this team prepared, for sure.
Yeah, you look at this college football playoff, and it's obvious Georgia and Ohio State are the two most talented teams out of the 4 teams that's in the playoff. So I definitely think it's an intriguing matchup. And, you know, obviously they put that as a nightcap for a reason. Because out of the 4 programs, they are the 2 most talented. And, you know, and when you really look at it from a college football historian standpoint, you know, out of these 4 programs, 3 of them are historical powerhouses, Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio State. So obviously you're going to put the 2 that's matching up against each other as the prime time matchup. So, I mean, definitely some intriguing, you know, matchups when you look at all the defensive personnel in Georgia. Has an opportunity to be first-round picks. Then when you look at Ohio State, when you look at Stroud, when you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., when you look at Paris Johnson, you got some players that are also potential first-round picks on this football team. So from a talent standpoint, there's a lot of talent on that field. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup. It's hard to pick against Georgia right now, as JQ just mentioned. They're playing in Atlanta. When you look at what they've done over the last 2 to 3 years, they've certainly got a good thing going right now. It's going to be a tough out. I'm going to be pulling for Ohio State like heck, as I hate Georgia and hearing these fans here. Them dogs. I get tired of hearing them say that.
Me and you both. I need it. I need it so bad. You have no idea. I need it. I need it so bad.
Yeah. It's gonna be a great game. Great game too. Like I said, you nailed it, JQ. You hope that they learn something about being physical, you know, with the team with Ohio State too. Because I mean, I think Ohio State has a lot of talent, right? And like you said, I think Georgia can be exposed, but it's gonna be good. They have a good defense. What's
the point spread?
It's gonna be a good game.
I think the last time I saw it was 7. Georgia favored by 7.
It's close. Okay. Good stuff. All right, we're going to skip over here. I want to talk about what happened with Kyler Murray, and I think we'll start with you, Gary, because, you know, just what an interesting injury, and that he is definitely has the torn ACL, so he's going to be out, obviously, for the rest of the year. This is interesting, too, guys, because he basically signed that, 5-year, $230 million extension. Just if you're the Cardinals, I mean, you're pretty much attached to this dude, man, so it's probably going to be take a year normally to heal from that type of situation too. So this is definitely interesting. I know they signed Carson Strong to their practice squad. They had Colt McCoy playing, and Carson Strong was on the Eagles, practice squad at one point. But just an interesting dynamic now you're looking at what's happening with the Cardinals, you know. So I'll let you kind of leave with that, Gary, if you will.
Well, you know, you get these running quarterbacks, and, you know, sometimes things just don't go well. And, you know, he gets hurt. He's out for the season. We've seen this before. They were not going to do anything this year anyway. Not in that division, not with how the, you know, it's going to be one team in that division that's going to come out, you know, and it's going to be the 49ers that's going to come out of the West. But Colt McCoy, he did all right. You know, Colt McCoy, he did, you know, he's not Kyler Murray and he's not mobile like that or whatever, but he made some decent throws. They're not really going to be that worse off because they weren't winning anyway. They weren't winning with Kyle, you know, so this may be a good, if there is a good time for a starting quarterback to go out and, you know, this may be one of those times where, you know what, they're having a down season anyway. Let's let him heal up, you know, let's reevaluate things, bring in some maybe some more talent around him, maybe some protection, and regroup and try and compete in the division. You know, right now with the 49ers and the Seahawks, you know, they're battling out. They're going to battle it out for the division. They're playing this this weekend, I believe. So we'll see how that goes. But as far as, you know, starting quarterback, good time for him to be out. They weren't winning. Bring in this Colt McCoy. Let him do what he can do. He'll win a couple of games, and they'll be last in the division like they were going to be anyway.
Man, that's harsh. This is why I disagree with that. The reason why I disagree with that is if he had, like, broke his ankle or broke his leg and could come back at the beginning of the next year, then I feel like you're right. They're not going to go anywhere with it. But with this ACL, like you talked about, being in this year, so now you've had this year where you sucked. And now he's probably not going to be able to play until this time next year, maybe. So now you're talking about you probably potentially have a lost season this year and another lost season next year unless Colt McCoy finds some Brock Purdy or whatever magic that he can find in the offseason to help them at the beginning of the next year. So that's why I disagree with that. Like, that's just devastating for them.
Well,
let me
say something right there. So if you have a losing season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, let's pile up some draft picks. Let's get some higher draft picks. Let's bring some people in. And like I said, that's why I'm thinking it may be, you know, because it's going to be this season and next season, you know, for the most part. So bring in some draft picks around him. They need help.
If you have Arizona 4-9 right now, right? Do you take a chance, well, not really taking a chance, do you draft one of these quarterbacks next year? Because you're going into the season without $30 million.
No.
And, you know, so that's going to be the question. And then another thing is, from the front office standpoint, do you bring Cliff Kingsbury back too? So that's, to me, that's going to be two big questions for this organization. Number one, are you going to bring the head coach back? Number two, you know, if a quarterback's there that you like, because they may be in position to take one with that record. If a quarterback is there that you like in the first round, do you take one? So it's going to be, do you just automatically just say, hey, Colt McCoy is going to be our guy, or do you go out and get another veteran next year? So it's going to be interesting to see what their front office approach is going to be going into next season.
But he's so fragile anyway, I think, mentally. It's not that, but if you bring him in, they say that, he's going to take it as, you don't believe in my work ethic to get back. No, I get it, but you still got to pay that guaranteed money that's part of that still owed to Kyler. I think it's more of the, do you mess with Kyler's mindset if you do that? Like, he's the rehab, and then don't let that young dude come in out there and start getting some shine and play well and start getting a rapport with DeAndre Hopkins. Now he's sitting back really pissed, like, you just took this dude, and, y'all just going to let him take my spot? And you still owe Kyler, you know, some good money.
Somebody will pick a shot on Kyler if Arizona gets rid of him.
Yeah,
I mean,
somebody
true.
Will pick him up.
Somebody going to take a shot at him. They got a lot of quarterback needy teams out here.
I can see that. I can also see that if they end up with that spot, depending on where it lands, where a Stroud and a Alabama Bryce Young land, do they it's in that catbird spot where they can get more picks to Gary's point of if we trade
down with you,
and we get another first round pick next year, and we're going to suck next year anyway, and then we may end up with two high first round picks depending on how it goes with the rookie quarterback going to Team X. You then do it that way. I just don't know if you can mess. There's some dudes I think that can take it and understand that. I don't think Kyle is one of those dudes. He seems to me, I told you that when we got drafted, I didn't really think Kyle was a good dude. Like, mentally, in terms of ability-wise, yes. But he seemed like he was a jerk. And then you talk about, you know, he's not studying enough and he's playing Call of Duty. Yeah. So if you bring that aspect into the locker room and then that other dude starts to playing well, like you saw Patrick Peterson take a shot at him the other day. Kyle Murray only cares about Kyle Murray. He said that on somebody's podcast. I was like, well, damn, Patrick Peterson was just putting him out there like that. So if people feel that way about him and you get that young dude and he has any kind of charisma and moxie and ability to lead men and plays any kind of way, then you almost have to come off with Kyler Murray. And then that would be a very Arizona Cardinal thing to do. Because, I mean, they took Josh Rosen and then took Kyler Murray the next year. So, I mean, you know, it's not like they haven't done something like that before, but, man, that would be messy.
Yeah. I mean, a couple definitely points to that, too. You know, good. What are you about to say, Gary?
No. I was just agreeing with him. Yeah, I'm just agreeing with
JQ. Yeah, and it's tough. And it's tough, JQ, because, you know, like you said, and I know, Rob, it's a rookie contract, but $230 million, that's like $46 million a year that they still owe that guy, you know. So, but there's two
parts. But it's not all guaranteed, though.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. No, all of that's not guaranteed.
Not all guaranteed.
Oh. There's very few NFL contracts where all of them are guaranteed.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I was just saying, hey, these are two questions that the organization is going to have to answer. Number one, Cliff Kingsbury. And number two, the quarterback situation. If one of those quarterbacks are available, when I say one of those quarterbacks, you know, you're talking about Young, Stroud, Will Levis, one of those quarterbacks, if one of those guys are available when you're picking, do you, you know, roll the dice and take one? Because ultimately, you know, you're going into the season with a journeyman at quarterback next season, you know.
Yeah, so 160 of them is guaranteed. So, I mean, it ain't all the way guaranteed.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Yeah, I was looking at 160 guaranteed, for injury, and then they put requirements that he has to, like, study, and he has to basically do film study and stuff like that. That's crazy. That's his contract.
They pulled that out. Man. They pulled that out of the contract.
They pulled that out,
They pulled it out now?
When it got reported, everybody started talking about it. They tried to save face, and they pulled it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who gets credit for? The addendum power says he sees mandatory does not count. He will receive credit for personally study the material in good faith. Okay, there's some addendums in there that's pretty interesting, too.
That lets you know where he is, though. Okay. The fact that they put that in there lets you know where he is, and that's what I'm saying. He just doesn't seem like somebody that would take that well. But I hear you, Rob. At some point, if you feel like, hey, this dude is that dude and he ain't going to return, because he has to have his legs. Like, he's short. He has to be able to get around off big offensive linemen, make plays off script. And if he can't do that because the ACL ain't right, then he's not the dude you signed to that contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then if you make a guy that's that small.
We've seen it before, teams signing somebody to a big contract like that, and they wind up having to get rid of him. Or, you know, so it wouldn't be – I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think this is going to be a tough decision. I mean, they're 4-9 right now. I mean, they could lose three out of their last four games or lose all the rest of their four games and be in the prime position for one of those quarterbacks. And it's going to be a tough decision for the organization, you know. Do we take a quarterback? Do we trade down and get more picks, as you all mentioned earlier? Or do we take a Jalen Carter, right, defensive tackle from Georgia? Do we take a Will Anderson if they're right there for you? Do you take one of those elite defensive players and wait on Kyler? So it's going to be interesting. You know, I'll have my popcorn ready and see what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do this offseason.
And Arizona's always a wild card, so you have no idea what Arizona's going to do there. Mm-hmm. The Bitwells are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, sucks. They drafted a quarterback in the first round of Josh Rosen and came right back the next year and drafted another quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right?
Too, so, yeah.
How often do you see that? I mean, they might be the only franchise in history to do that.
You may want to check Cleveland for that. I don't know. We'll see. They are notorious for doing some mess like that, too. And it's interesting. You mentioned that, Gary, that the 49ers are playing the Seattle on Thursday. That's going to be interesting, too. Seahawks. And then we got some Saturday games. Everything is coming into play as far as getting to that final season here or final weeks of the season. We're going to the top five real quick, and this is me and Gary. I'll get my top five, and you
make sure y'all watch
Gary.
The Poland Weed Eater Bowl this weekend.
Please, no.
top five. For me, I've got the Eagles, 12-1. You know, obviously, that is what it is. They've been playing well. Just kicking ass. I got the Bills at number two. Obviously, they survived. But the defense came to play versus the Jets for that. I got your Bengals, JQ, at third with 9-4. 49ers,
wow.
I got them at five with Brock Purdy. And then I've got the Cowboys wrapped into that instant spot. That's what I've got for the top five, if you will. So.
Andre punishes some people for Sunday, boy.
I hate the Vikings.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I've got the Eagles still at number one. I've got the Bills at number two. I got the Chiefs at number three. I got the Cowboys at number five. And I got the
number four,
and I got the Bengals at number five.
Very similar.
Those are my top five.
Gary and I very similar, except that I have the 49ers at five. But the top four, we agree. I got the Eagles at one. The Eagles the last 2 weeks have been just flat out phenomenal.
Yep.
I mean, Chuck, the way they dump truck the Titans, then they railroad the Giants this past weekend. The Bills, another team that seems to be playing really well of late. I'm starting to get a little concerned about their injuries. I mean, losing Von Miller obviously is going to be a huge blow to them. They got Tre'Davious White back, so that's probably going to help them in the secondary. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, enough said. Cowboys managed to pull it out this past weekend. That was a tough out. But I got the 49ers at number five. That's the only difference that I have. And,
I got the same five that you got, Rob. I got the Bengals sitting there at six. I think between them, I think if being honest, if San Francisco and Cincinnati played on neutral site, the same record right now, I think the San Francisco defense will be a little bit much, given its even current state, all injuries in play will be still a little much for the Bengals at this point. I think the Bengals have a chance to get healthier because I think Debo's going to be down for a minute. And, of course, you know, you got Purdy for the rest of the season. More tape on him, more teams get to feel what he does, likes to do or not do. They might start to catch up to him. But, yeah, I go with that. The reason why I flipped the Bills and the Chiefs this week is that if you're the Chiefs, I know you're paying these dudes on offense, but you got to be really concerned about that defense. That's a Denver team that hasn't scored points on nobody. So you had them down like 27 to nothing or something like that, and you let them come get back within one score a game. I mean, I know you can understand the team maybe getting bored or whatnot, but you can't take your foot off the gas like that. You can't let a team that has not shown a pulse on offense and then have to deal with a backup quarterback. But Russell Wilson getting hurt. To do that to you. I mean, I know you don't know nothing about it, but, man, your defense, if you want to win the Super Bowl, it's got to be better than that. So that's my reason for flipping 2-3. But I'm with you, Rob. Those are my five.
Well, and 49ers are definitely honorable mentions, and they could be in that fifth spot. Yeah, they could be – hell, they could be in the third spot. Really, I mean, their defense is that good. But I would disagree with you, Rob. I would say that, JQ, I think if the Bengals played the 49ers, I'd bet on the Bengals. They got that quarterback, Joe Cool. They got that quarterback that may, you know, they got that stud wide receiver group. I think they're a team that could absolutely beat the 49ers. And I think the 49ers, they're playing with a quarterback now that's shown signs that he's going to be okay, but like there isn't enough film on the kid yet. Wait till they start picking apart his weaknesses, and then that defense has got to stay on the field for, you know, that much longer and that sort of thing. That's when you're going to see a whole change in this. But I would put the, that's why I put the Bengals ahead of the head of the 49ers, because I think the Bengals could beat them.
Well, I think it would be a close game. That's not, and it's not a knock. Like, I don't think they blow Cincinnati out. The issue I have is that in a couple of these games, I've seen Lyle Collins, and you know all about him. He's got a little, he's got a year older. Like last week, not Miles Garrett, but Jermaine Clowney was whooping Lyle Collins' ass on the outside. Like, he was giving him the business. In that first game, T.J. Watt gave it to him. So my concern if they played each other was if I would put Bosa on Collins the whole game, and I think he could be a problem for that Cincinnati offense. Like, they were able to survive against Cleveland because Deshaun Watson hasn't played real football in 2 years. So he's holding that Cleveland team back. But, you know, and that's what worries me a little bit about Collins. He's had some good weeks, but when he gets a really quick, you know, quick twitch, you know, defensive end on his side, he's got to go one-on-one against. He's struggled a little bit this year on those, against those teams. So
that
would be the reason
that
to the point.
I saw that when he was with the Cowboys. That's why when he left, I wasn't too worried about that, because I saw when he he had those, you know, went against those really fast, low edge rushers, he couldn't handle that.
Had to start chipping and taking somebody out of the route. So that's why I say that. But I mean, they're still a good team. I mean, I agree. You can go 5 or 6. I think that's a flipping kind of game, but, you know, as a Bengals fan, watching that happen and knowing what Bosa can do, what I would do if I was a defensive coordinator would put Bosa over Collins and say, hey, you either got to go 1-1 or good luck, or you got to keep the tight end in or a running back, and then that takes one left dude that Joe Burrow can throw to. That's my only reason behind keeping the Bengals behind San Francisco.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the Patriots holding back Mac Jones and vice versa, Rob.
Sucks, you know. I know there's a lot of, you know, communication about the Patriots and lack of an offensive coordinator. Well, man, Mac Jones is not good enough. I mean, I'm just going to, you know, straight up to the point. I don't care who's calling the plays. It could be the four of us calling the plays together. And Mac Jones is just not good enough. You know, it's like he's wearing steel-toed boots in the back. He can't run. He don't have any mobility in the pocket. He's just not good enough. He has no athleticism, and I'm sorry. I think he's holding the Patriots back more than the Patriots are holding him back, in my personal opinion. He's just not good enough. That team is still winning games in spite of him, and you saw the rookie came in and showed some spark early in the season. But, you know, I think they just need that. Mac Jones just needs to be a game manager. And the Patriots, if he's going to be the quarterback going forward, he's got to be a game manager. He can't turn the football over. They got to be able to run the football, and they have to play elite defense in order for them to be successful. But he's not a tremendous athlete. He's not a tremendous quarterback, in my opinion. He's just not good enough. And to me, he's holding the Patriots back more than the Patriots are holding him back.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's the Patriots holding them back. Like, man, you can't have a dude that was the defensive line coach and then a DC. Like, you know what, homeboy? You're going to call the plays this year. And a dude is going to be in his second or third year at quarterback. Like, you aren't giving him – like, who else – what other team does that to their young quarterback? So I'm a reserve judgment. If he still had Josh McDaniels or a proven OC and they were calling good plays and had some cash in the league and some experience, and he still looked like that, I would go 100% with you. But you're like, come on, man, you can't have Matt Patricia calling the plays and then he over there check with Bill Belichick whether they should run on second and six. Bill Belichick don't know. He know how to stop a second and six play, but he don't know what play to call to exploit a second and six. So it's like it's hard for me to put it to
Bill
dump
Belichick
on him. You can see the frustration.
Football, man.
Man, he know enough on the defensive side of the ball, and I would always give him his flowers and his kudos for special teams and defense. But in terms of when you got a young quarterback, if he come from Alabama, he had all that talent around him. And then you take him to New England as a defensive team, and you get cast off from other teams and put them as your wide receivers. Yes, he's got a good running game. The offensive line has been a little shaky. And you got an OC who doesn't really know how to be an OC and exploit coverages and whatnot from that standpoint. And you're not giving him the greatest offensive skill sets. Like, nobody stands up at night worried about Kendrick Bourne or, you know, Nelson Aguilar beating them, you know, the same way they worry about an Olave or, you know, or T. Higgins or something like that, like, or Chase. Like, they don't have – he doesn't have that. So you give him somewhat shaky offensive line. They're a better run-blocking offensive line than they are pass-blocking offensive line. With not the greatest wide receiver skill set and an inexperienced OC, I can't throw the dirt on him quite yet. Now, if they change that in the offseason and he still looks like that, then I'll change my opinion. But right now, I just don't feel like they put him in a position to succeed.
Well, I think
Bill Belichick knows everything about football, man.
Hush, Rob.
He could probably Matt Jones, or he could probably be a good backup quarterback for somebody. He'd probably be a pretty good backup. You know, he could go in there and be a game manager. He doesn't look like he should be a starting quarterback in the league with what he's doing. But at the same token, you know, the offensive coordinators here, they're not doing him any favors whatsoever. You know, when you got a guy that's, you know, he's not mobile, he's not, you know, he's just not really a very good athlete. You know, he's an NFL quarterback, so he's a good athlete, but compared to the other athletes, he's not really there. And then you get coaches, and he's like, you know, like waving at him, come on, let's get this fucking play in here. Come on,
dude.
I mean, he was doing this over and over again. And you're looking, and they're panning over to the sideline, and these guys are looking at – I wish they would have had, like, a caption above their head. I would have loved to have wrote something in there because it looked like they were just deer in the headlights. They had no idea what to do. But guess what? Guess where all that stuff falls on?
Deal.
It all falls on your head coach.
Yeah.
That's Bill Belichick's team.
And those people
I love it.
With Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator and Mac Jones as the quarterback. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, I will agree with Jake, too, because the first year he was like, they were like the second time, like they were talking about how efficient he was, how great he looked, and that was a great pick for the Patriots. And then how this year, like, it's just totally different. So, obviously, you saw what happened, and Jake Hughes was right with the change of coordinator. That was pretty big. So that's probably, I think, our reserve judgment, too. Let's get to these picks real quick. I was going to fire them
that's
around, too.
That's why
Josh too, so
McDaniels left. You know how many jobs Josh McDaniels turned down over the last 10
years?
He
had to take it. He turned down
like 6-7 head coaching jobs. Then he got a year of Mac Jones. You say, I'm out of here.
Come on, man. That's why he's terrible.
That's
you mean
smart.
For Derek fucking Carr? Okay.
Man, this who we drafted at quarterback? Man, let's go.
Stop
this is
it.
My opportunity.
Stop
me.
It. That's the Alabama that's hate right there, baby.
I think Mac Jones was a great college quarterback. I mean, that team went undefeated. You know, I always say that LSU 2019 team is one of the best of all time. But you can make a case that 2020 Alabama team, even though it was during COVID, you can make a case for that team being one of the best of all time, too, as much as I hate Alabama. That was a legitimate college football team as well. But I just don't think his game translates that well to the NFL, you know, just in my opinion. And so, you know, that's just my – hey, Josh McDaniels accepted jobs, went back to New England. He turned down head coaching jobs to stay in New England. 1 year, Mac Jones, I'm out.
That's pretty funny.
I'm gonna say going to Vegas probably helps. Like, I don't know if he takes that to go somewhere to go to Cleveland, but to go to Vegas, like, he was like, "Yeah, I'm up."
Yeah, he said, "I'll even take Carr. I'll even take Carr over that."
He said, "I can get rid of Carr in a year." He's probably going to be right.
He got rid of half the team, so that's probably true, actually. You never know. Let's get through these predictions real quick. I'll start with you, Rob. So we got the 49ers at the Seahawks. What's the you on this one?
Seahawks heading in the wrong direction. I mean, they might get Kenneth Walker back this week. Looks like the latest report that he's healthy today. So that could be a big help for the Seahawks. But the 49ers just playing lights out right now. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if some teams could get something to stop Brock Purdy. But right now the 49ers offensive line is playing well. Their running game is well. They're protecting the quarterback. I mean, I know they're not going to have Deebo Samuel, but they just seem like they got it going right now. And yeah, they got a machine going over there in San Francisco. So I think they go on the road, and I'm going to say they win this game by about 24-13.
Yeah, I'm going with the 49ers, and I know it's a short week. We normally go with the home team. But when you let Carolina come in with Sam Darnold, and you know all they want to do is give the ball to Hubbard and Foreman, and you still can't stop it, and then Christian McCaffrey coming to town. Yeah, good luck. San Francisco.
Yeah, lay in the direction.
And y'all know how hard it is for me to pick the road team on a Thursday night.
We know. Let's see. Well, Dolphins at the Bills. Go ahead.
Hang on. I haven't made my prediction yet. I'm going with the home team. I'm going with the Seahawks. The reason why I'm going with the Seahawks is because these two teams play each other every year. It's going to be one of those games where the Seahawks hang around, and they're going to have a chance in this game because they're the team. The 49ers go out there and beat the shit out of the Rams. Then the 49ers get beat by the Seahawks. And that's the way it's been. And that's the way it's going to be in this game here, is the 49ers are going to be in a real game this week. They may end up winning because they're just that strong, but I don't think it's going to be easy. But I am going to pick the Hawks in a squeaker at home.
I hope you're right. Yeah, you're the 49ers. Man, did y'all see that contract?
From Correa? Yeah. That's what I said,
Yeah, $350 million.
13 years, $350 million just coming across?
I wouldn't give him that kind of contract and money, but go ahead.
You're saying there's a chance, Gary, huh? That's what you're saying for the Seahawks. Okay, all right.
You're right. You know what? I hate the Seahawks, but they just play them tough.
Yeah, we'll see. Ooh, yeah, they may be bad.
LeBron and the Lakers making the comeback.
Dolphins at the Bills. Go ahead. Start with you, Gary.
Who with the Bills?
Dolphins at the Bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go with the Bills. I think this is also going to be, you know, a very good game. I think Miami will stay with them. I think the Bills will pull away in the end. Bills at home.
Two has been playing terrible too last week. That's tough, man. It's just, and I hate when it's press conference, man. He didn't do good at the team. No, Tua, you did bad, man. Come on, man. He played terrible. Rob,
this is the Bills getting back right. They got that one seed. They got it locked in right now. They ain't trying to give it up by losing at home to the Dolphins. I'm going Buffalo.
Yeah, and I agree. I think we complete that on there. I'm going with the Bills. I think it's two teams heading in different directions right now. I think the Bills are trending up. The Dolphins are trending down. I tell you what, Tua the other night was awful. Man, he cannot hit the side of the barn. He can throw it in the ocean. And his accuracy was just all over the place on the other night against the Chargers. I mean, what was his completion percentage in that game? 37.5%, I believe.
It was something bad.
I mean,
it was missing, bad.
He was missing open guys left and right. He was missing them short. He was missing them long. He was missing them 2 yards away from him. I mean, it was just,
behind
it was just terrible. It was terrible. Behind him, you name it.
Terrible.
Like 2.5 yards behind them.
Yeah.
Nice. Titans at the Chargers. Jake, can you start with that?
What you say, two teams turning in different directions? One's going up and one's going down? Yeah, I'm going for the Chargers.
Hey, you took the words right out of my mouth, JQ. Another example, even our next prediction is two teams heading in two directions, too. But, I go for the Chargers. Justin Herbert, he's getting some of his weapons back now. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got Mike Williams back.
Keenan Allen.
Austin Eckler's had a heck of a year all year. The defense is solid, not spectacular. And the Titans, man, they look good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Chargers as well.
Yeah. I mean, they lost to the Jaguars.
They got monkey stomped.
Ever since AJ Brown with them up, they've been trending in the wrong direction. AJ Brown, ever since that game,
week before that, they lost to the Bengals the week before, and then that happened, and it just
But AJ Brown, really, that was like the one, like, oh, damn.
He got that man fired. He got that man fired.
They might wind up like, they might wind up with a losing record like the winner of the NFC South.
They might.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Speaking of that, you know, Rob, upset you didn't really put any topics in. We had two big moves. Atlanta-based, you know, the Braves getting Sean Murphy. That was pretty big, man. I know it was like a nine-player deal, man, but just that was pretty impactful for the Braves, man. Getting the second-best, oh, great catch behind JT Realmuto. I just, you know, second, throwing out base runners. Lost him in the farm system, but I like that move just really quickly. And Desmond Ridder, man, starter man versus the rest of the season, man. A lot of drama here in Atlanta. I'm sure you're hear a little bit about that, Rob, about what's going on with Marcus Mariota, that not only did he supposedly get taken left the team because he was getting his knee scoped out, he's like, done, man. That's crazy how all that happened in a matter of a couple of days here, man. So just interesting time,
too.
But that was the first, oh, he had a baby, oh, cool, oh, he's not coming back, what, you know? And then there's a lot of moves that trigger that, too, so. But we're talking about just an interesting situation that happened just for the past couple of days. But officially, Raiders found us here. We'll see. I have no clue what's going to happen in this instance, too, man. So, you know.
Hey, why would you trade him? He was a damn all-star. He's an all-star. You traded him for Murphy. Like, I guess it better work out for Atlanta. You traded an all-star to get another catcher. You had an all-star catcher. He went to the all-star game. He wasn't like he was the only Atlanta Brave to go to the all-star game. He was like three or four dudes.
Contreras was great, yeah. I mean, obviously, like, he had him, and he's a young guy, you know, so you're still kind of like, you know, yeah, but just like, you know, from a position of strength, so we'll see. But I don't like we gave up
some
prospects. We gave up a lot of our prospects, you know, so, but, you know, the good thing about Braves, they're going to keep drafting pitchers. Like, next year, pitchers, they're going to keep doing it, you know, so that's, you know, he must not be worried about it, you know, so, but that. Rob, I know we got 4 minutes here, so now the time, probably 2 minutes to say anything you want to say, and then we'll wrap up the show so we can get out on time, if you will.
Yeah, I'll talk about Desmond Ridder here really quick. I think, you know, if you're the Falcons, man, you got nothing to lose with Desmond Ridder, right? And so, I mean, the Saints don't have any film on him other than the preseason. As much as I hate to say this, I think the Falcons are going to win this game. They're going to come down there with a rookie quarterback. The Saints and Dennis Allen invent ways to lose every week. And so they're going to invent a new way to lose. And they're going to lose to the rookie quarterback because they don't have any, nothing to go off of. Ridder had 2 weeks off of bye week, too, to kind of get prepared and get them ready, too. So it's And Dennis Allen, for some reason, always struggled with mobile quarterbacks. So that's going to be a challenge. But I hope I'm wrong. And, of course, I'll be down at the game, unfortunately. But anyway, I'll do the fantasy shout-outs here really quick. But, we'll start with the fantasy basketball shout-out. Grand Theft Alvarado. Matthew from Indianapolis, his team was the biggest win of the week, 7-2 over CKD Black Belt. And Saints Pelicans 23, that's Ronald from New Orleans, his team had a 7-2 win over Madhouse on Madison. My team's in first place, Trust the Process, 48-23-1. And league number one in fantasy football, Gentilly Hot Sausage. Corey from Atlanta had the biggest win in the week, 155.48 over Purple and Gold, 100.58. My team, Uptown Funk, in first place at 11-3. And league number two, Bears Nation, Paul from Atlanta, with a 151.28 win over Boxcar Willie O2, 74.80. Kid Kev, 23 from New Orleans, in first place with an 11-3 record. Paul's sensational team, that's Paul from Atlanta, the biggest win of the week, 131.98 over Black Belt, 1906, 41.70. And Paul's team is also in first place with an 11-3 record. And league number four, my team, Jambalaya Spice, for the biggest win of the week, 155.38 over Street Profits, 56.16. And my team in first place at 11-3. So those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week. And We heading to the playoffs this week. I think in one league, JQ and I are going at it in the first round.
Yeah, oh, I got to find a quarterback, Kyler Murray. So, yeah, that's fine.
You had Kyler Murray in four leagues, though? You got him in four leagues, though?
Because I went running backs early, and by the time he was starting to roll through in rounds 5, 6, and 7, he was the best available. Like, I didn't set out to do that, and it just worked out. And then I watched him go down on third play. I was like, well, that's great.
Man, the Lakers were down by 20. You didn't cut the lead to 1.
Gotcha. Wrap this up, guys, because it's like 12 o'clock, so go ahead and we'll wrap up the show up. Go ahead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We'll be back at you on next Tuesday night, the week before Christmas. So we're going to be back at you 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 Central, 9 Mountain. If our friends in Fresno, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Jackson, Mississippi, California, wake up.
Appreciate you for listening to the show.
They got some country people in California, too.
Hopefully I get a win while I'm down there in Tampa, but it'd be good to see some friends and hang out. And I think Gary Owens is having like a day party for the Bengals fans on Saturday we're going to try to go to. So I'll let you guys know how that turns out.
Gary, good thing you're going to Palm Springs in December.
Yeah.
It's summertime, man. That smoke would be coming out of your head.
Oh yeah, no, I know better than go to Death Valley in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, gentlemen, have a great rest of your day. Rob, we'll connect with you, man. Have a good
night,
okay?
People.
Talk soon, gentlemen.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night.